Pleasure to be with you again. I left, and your new preacher got here, and then I didn't hear a word out of you, which is very good. That's very, very good. That says a lot of good things. I've had lunch with Josh, and he was excited about being here, and I just want to say a thing about his being gone. Good on ya. Good on you. I went to church one time and said, well, you know, you just hired on here, so you get a week of vacation after forever. And I went, but I've been preaching in a Church of Christ. I've just changed locations. I haven't changed companies. And they didn't quite understand that. So I was locked up there for a long time. But it's really great. He hadn't been here all that long. You still let him go on vacation. That will do him good and do you good. And anyway, I'm glad to be here. It's great. It is Father's Day. I have been a dad three times. I have a son and a daughter and a son, and they're all very nice. They treat me pretty well. I have six grandkids, which is a byproduct of being a dad myself. My wife's nickname is Meemaw. I've got a 2-year-old grandson who calls me Meepop. I'm just hoping he won't quit, because I'm thinking that's going to be so good at my funeral when he's about 40 years old, and he still refers to me as Meepop, and everybody in the audience goes, what? That'll be great. When I asked Josh what I should preach, he said, well, Jeff will lead just a little talk with Jesus, and so that means short. He didn't really say that, but I got the message, Jeff. Don't worry. I heard it. It was subtle. Just a little talk with Jesus. Fine. But he said, just pick something. And so if I'm going to pick something, I'm going to pick something long and boring, so you'll remember I'm here. In Catch 22, there was a character named Dunbar who did things that were boring so it would seem like his life was lasting longer. And so this is a sermon that could make your life seem really long. Actually, my great joy is just to take a text and read that text really loud. I tell people that sometimes preaching is just reading the text really loud. And so this morning we're going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, really loud. Some of you might know that this is the lectionary reading for today from the letters. For many of you, you don't care about that, and so don't worry about that. But it just means that around the world today, millions of Christians are hearing this text preached. So let me read it, and then we'll read it really loud. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely, therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May God bless the reading of his word in the presence of his people. And maybe in the presence of some who might be here who don't know if they're his people or not. I want to preach this text in a circle. We're going to begin and we're going to go through the text and we're going to come back to the beginning and go a little bit further in the text. We're going to go 1 through 5, 6 through 11, 1 through 5. Aren't you excited? Someone will say, this sounds like artificial intelligence could have done this. And let me trust you, no intelligence was used in the production of this sermon. What I first want you to reflect on is, what if you were a person in whom none of what is talked about in the first 5 verses is true? What if you are a person who is still guilty, not justified? What if you're a person who does not have peace? What if you're a person who does not have grace? What if you're a person who does not have afflictions that are doing anything good for you? What if you are just guilty and hopeless, and everything that's going on in your life is just going on and grinding you down? And that most of all, as you look around at the wasteland of your life, you wonder if there is any love in the world. And you wonder if the stuff that's called love by the people around us, that comes at us glittery, shiny, sweet, and turns dark and tarnished and bitter, how could that even be love at all? Well, what Paul wants to say is that was exactly the place the world was as God surveyed it. I think we have to hear that. Now here we are, all buffed and polished and yanked up in church. Here we all are. And we look pretty good. I mean, from where I stand, we look pretty good. And I got new glasses. I can see you, actually. But before you get to where we are in Christ, let's just talk about that. In the world, Paul wants to tell us that there are no bragging rights. He started in chapter 1. He said, the Gentiles exchanged the glory of the Creator for the worship of the created things. He said in chapter 2 that those people who thought they had a law that gave them access to God were hammering people with the law but not living up to it themselves, and in being guilty of the law in one thing had become guilty in all of it. And he says then in chapter 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No love. No peace. No glory. Now, the people in this world don't want us to think that. A Subaru wants you to think that if you buy a Subaru, suddenly you fall in love with animals and you're a nice person. You know, various people, you know, the television stations, they have these things about, you have trouble? Call us. We'll look into it. We'll find out about your rent. We'll find out about your gas. We'll find out, you have troubles? Call Channel 5. So many things have set themselves up to be saviors. But what we would hear this morning from Romans is that it is not possible for us, out of our human inventions and convention, it is not possible for us to save ourselves. Our prettiest words, our finest books, our best media, our jazziest apps. We cannot save ourselves. That is a very unpopular view. More popular would be, we can save ourselves, all of us are saved, everybody's going to go to heaven, it's all good. Let's just hold hands and sing Kumbaya in the midst of our corporate zen. Paul says, finally, there came a day. While we were still weak and guilty and enemies of God, that Christ died for the ungodly. And we are reminded that when he says the ungodly, he's not talking about them. He's talking about us. Me. And all y'all in Texan. Right? At just the right time, God said, these people are my enemies because of their behavior. I'm kind of their enemy. I don't like what they're doing. And the way I'm going to arbitrate this conflict, this battle of wills, this battle between the giver of life and those people who are intent on dying in their own way, the way I'm going to arbitrate this is by taking my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I'm going to take my son whom I love, and I'm going to put him into that world of enemies and weakness and sin and darkness, and when he enters that world, he'll be the light of the world. The only one. And he'll be the hope of the world. All it's got. And when he goes there, he will die. Dun, dun, ta, da, 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 da. We just sang it. For the sake of the world, for the sake of the world, God will give his only son for his enemies, for the weak, for the lost, for the people who no way in any way could possibly deserve it, except in the graciousness of God's own heart. So, we're declared not guilty by his blood, justified. We're declared reconciled by his life. So that what was guilty is not guilty anymore. What was an enemy is not an enemy anymore. And now we have been lifted out of that water of baptism into that fellowship of the Spirit and in the body of Christ. We've been lifted up out of that into a new place. I know it sounds like preaching. Don't let it bother you. I'd like to get past your preaching filter and make it sound like this is really the truth of my very own life. This is not just churchy things you say after you've had communion, but what Romans is saying is something to me, Paul's saying something to me, Eddie's trying to say something to me that gets past my defenses and tells me that now, because we have been justified by faith and reconciled by the very life of Christ, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, not just an absence of conflict, but real peace. Real goodness, real peace. Where the love of God is poured out on us and we have peace. And not only that, that we have accessed this grace. Before we were a disgrace. Now we are standing in this grace. The difference between disgrace and this grace is and so he says, now we have hope. First hope is that we share in the glory of God. Who does that? Who now stands in the glory of God? The people who were enemies and weak and dead. Come up here and stand in the glory of God. You like the end of 2 Corinthians 3? We all with unveiled faces are being transformed. Glory of God. We, the glory of God. Is there any bigger change that can happen in anybody than that? Dead, enemy, weak. Alive, beloved, strong. But not only do we stand in the glory, but now something that was not true before is true. We can now boast in our afflictions. I don't know about this. He says, now, because you're in Christ, because Christ has died and been raised again, because you now live in this peace and have access to this grace, and because you have this hope, now, even what's going wrong is working to make you into the likeness of Christ. So you can look at what's going on in your life and not feel miserable or pity or horrible, but you can say, even this is going to turn me more into the likeness of Christ. Like what? Affliction. I don't know about affliction. I don't like affliction. I've been afflicted a time or two in my life. Well, I don't know. That was punished. Maybe punishment's okay. I'm remembering Father's Day. Okay. My dad was a preacher, and I used to get in trouble for running around on the pulpit after church. He said I shouldn't do that. Well, I showed him. I get up here now. But afflictions. I was reading down through your list of those who are sick. I know that this world is a broken place, and sometimes its brokenness just falls on us. But Paul says, you can boast in your afflictions. And even with the things that are going on in your life, those afflictions, they'll make you stronger in the Lord. They'll give you endurance, and that strength will build your character. Almost every Christian walks with some kind of a limp. Has got a scar somewhere, has got a wound that's still in the process of healing, but we walk steadily together and we walk steadily into the presence of Christ. We are developing not only the ability to withstand affliction and not only to endure affliction, but to have it shape our very character. And it's almost like hope then generates even more hope. Because character leads to hope. And our hope is secure. He says, our hope is not put to shame. This past week, I heard this thing that my grandson said. I have a grandson who's 7. His name is Remy, and he has an accent. That's how fancy he is. He was talking to his mom. And talking something about, life is important. Life comes from things. I don't remember exactly the part, but he said, but when you die, we don't know what happens unless you are respawned like Jesus. Now, for those of us who don't know, respawned is a game. A game word, meaning when your guy has died, he gets to be reborn. He's respawned. An interesting word for resurrection that I don't know will catch on. But because of Jesus' responding, because of his resurrection, our hope is not going to be put to shame. There are people now who make fun of us because of what we hope. They go, don't you know that when you die, you're going to be just graveyard dead? And we come back and say, no. We believe that this love of God that's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us is the down payment of the life to come. We believe that the eternal life has already started in us. We believe that now, in the presence of affliction, that makes endurance, that gives us character, that gives us hope, that the risen Lord Christ has just demonstrated to us in himself what will happen to us. We are living no longer in weakness, no longer as enemies, no longer in death, but now we are living as the people joining God in deepest peace, in greatest glory, in deepest hope. And by the very Holy Spirit are living constantly in the love of God. That's reading this text really loud, even loudly for those of you who like adverbs. But I want you to claim it. I want you to claim this text. I want you to claim it when you're wondering if your life is worth it. I want you to claim it when you're hurting and you're afflicted. I want you to claim it when you wonder if what's going on in your life is going to turn out for your good. I want you to claim this text and thank God for the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit that makes you who you are in Christ. May God bless you as you stand in the glory of the crucified, buried, and risen Christ. Let's stand.